Good to see you. We're glad that you're here. We continue on with our series of messages about the Christmas holiday season. And this last week we talked about kind of the moment of Christmas. This morning we want to talk about the specialty of the Christmas message. The book of Luke chapter 2. The book of Luke chapter 2 verses 8 through 11. I want us to read together this morning. If you would, I'd ask that you please stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Just a reminder to you men, public service announcement from one brother to another trying to help you out. Christmas is well under 20 days away from now, like 16 or 17 days if you count today. That means that you need to get on the stick, all right? Amazon Prime will get it there in 2 days. I encourage you to be looking for your Christmas gifts because I know that you, probably like myself, have waited to the last minute to do that. If your wife has told you that she didn't want anything for Christmas, it's a trap. It's a trap, all right? Do not fall into said trap. You know, we read about the Bible how that the devil is always trying to snare us. That is a snare, brothers. And you will be in trouble if you do not get something for Christmas. So I encourage you this week, buy your wife something for Christmas. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Word of God says it this way. And there were shepherds in the same country abiding in the field and keeping watch over their keeping watch by night over their flock. And the angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel says unto them, be not afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come here to be in your house, to fellowship and to worship together. Lord, we thank you for the praises that we've already had the opportunity to sing unto you this morning. And Lord, we just thank you for the beautiful day that you provided. It's such a blessing to see the sunshine, Lord, the beauty that you've created as we celebrate the Christmas holiday season. Lord, Father, I pray just already in advance a prayer of thanks for the meal that we're going to receive after the service here today, Lord. We thank you for the hands that have taken the time to prepare it, Lord. And we just ask that you bless our time of fellowship as we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church family, Lord, just to celebrate and share in a meal for the holiday season, Father. Lord, I pray today that you help teach us, Lord, about this Christmas holiday message. This message that you sent first unto the shepherds, the good news about the coming of a Savior. Lord, I pray that we will go forward and share that message of the coming of you, Lord, with a lost and a dying world. Lord, Father, I pray that this morning you but use me as a mouthpiece and a tool and nothing more for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit teach us, lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. Father, I pray most of all if there's somebody here who's never received the good news and the good message of you, if there's somebody here who's lost and undone, Lord, I'd pray before it's everlasting too late that they'd come, they'd give their heart and their life to you, and that they would be saved. Lord, I pray that maybe if there's a Christian believer here today who is struggling, Lord, in the midst of a difficult season in their life, Lord, I pray that they will turn it all over to you today, Lord, that they will trust in you and in you alone. So, Father, Lord, we place it all here at the foot of your cross, and it is in your holy and precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. The message that we see the angels providing unto the shepherds here, undoubtedly the greatest message, the greatest news that the world could possibly have received. Amen? It was news of good tidings and of great joy, as they said. The news of a Savior who came to be the Savior of the world. Literally, the message here is Christ has come. Amen? And truly, Christ is here. This is the best news that the world could have heard or received. It was the best news then, and it's still the best news today. But why is it the best news? I think it's first and foremost we should look and see that it is truly the best news as we learn about the coming of Christ because it focuses on the most unique person in all of history. You ever think about that? You ever think about how that Christ is the most unique individual who has ever lived, who has ever been, the most unique man? Why? I think first and foremost we can see that Christ is unique in and of the fact that He is the Christ. Literally, it says unto us, He is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He came as the Christ. He came as the Son of God. He not only was the Son of God, but we see through the Scripture that He came and He was a prophet. He came and He foretold of great things that God would do. He came and foretold of prophecies and fulfilled prophecies that the Word of God said that He would do with His life. He also came as a priest, meaning that He came to give of Himself freely. But we also see that Christ came as a king. Amen? You know, that was one of the great prophecies about the coming of Christ, that He would be a king who would reign. And to the Jewish people, they were looking for this Messiah. They were looking for the prophet. They were looking for the priest. And they were looking for a king. But the king that they sought and the king that they looked for was totally different. The message that the Jewish people of that day when Christ was born were looking for was entirely different from the message that He brought. You see, Christ came as a King of kings and a Lord of lords. He came as the Son of God. But the people of that day were looking for a Messiah and a king who would reign on a different throne. They were looking for a king and a Messiah who would come and overthrow the rule of Roman leadership. They were looking for a king likened unto King David, a man in the physical flesh who would come and reign on a throne. Christ Jesus came and changed that entire perspective of what kind of king He would be. Truly, He is the most unique king that there has ever been. Amen? Totally different than any ruler that we could ever think of. You know, we think about kings or presidents or great leaders today. We have a vision and a mindset of what we think about or what we expect great leaders, great presidents, great kings and queens to be. Christ changed the entire perspective of that. We see that He came as the Christ, but we also see that He came as Lord and as Savior. Christ was and is the Son of God. Why was it so important that He came as Lord? And why was it so important that He came as God? It is impossible for Christ to come and save us from our sins unless He was truly God. Amen? It was impossible. The good news of the coming of Christ, the Savior, as Lord, it's good news and it's great news because He has the ability to cleanse us of all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. You see, He has the ability to give His life on a cross for you and I and to redeem us of our sin and to redeem us of our unrighteousness. No other man has the capability to do that. Why? Because no other man who's ever walked the face of this earth could say that truly they were the Son of God. And that's who that Christ was. He was the Savior. He was the Christ. He was God incarnate. You know, I think about in 1 John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh." Literally, it talks about how that Christ in the beginning was God and was with God and how He was manifest into the flesh. And He came into the flesh so that He could die for you and I. But He had to come as God's only Son. There's no other way for Him to die and be the Savior of the world unless He came in part as a Godhead. But we also see that Christ is so unique, not just because He is the Christ, not just because He is Lord and God, but we also see that He was man. We know that Christ was born of a Virgin Mary. We know that He was born as a child, no different from any child physically that has ever been born on the face of this earth. Christ was just like that. Christ was born and He had feelings and He had emotions. Christ was born and He looked just like any other newborn baby who was born from the womb. Christ bled. Christ had a heart. He had feelings just as you and I do. And He experienced all of those things. Christ was also man just as much as He was also God. And as essential as it was that Christ came as a Godhead, it was also essential that He came as man because He came as the representative of men. Amen? Christ had a purpose in coming and being born as a man. God had a purpose in it as well. You see, the shepherds received this good news of Christ, that He was the Christ, that He was Lord God, that He was a Savior, but also that He was born into this world as a man. And it's essential news, it's important news, it's as good a news then as it is today. That's why Christmas is still important. That's why Christmas still has a place in the life of the church today. That's why we recognize it every year. That's why to us as believers and followers in Christ, it is so important to us as we celebrate the coming of the birth of Christ, because it is such good news. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. We see here about this important aspect of Christ and His coming. Peter wrote and said it this way. He says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you." Think about that. Christ, the Son of God. Christ, the Lord. Christ, born as a man to be the representative of men, came and gave of His life freely, and He was foreknown to the foundation of the world. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Christ and God have always been. God and His Son have always been. Since the very foundation, the beginning of time, it says, He was there. But it says that He was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. Why is this such good news about the coming of Christ? It is such good news because He came for you and I. Think about that. Christ came for you and I. He didn't come to receive a throne. He didn't come to receive a crown. He didn't come to receive riches. He didn't come to receive glory. He didn't come to receive any of those things. He came to die a sinner's death, and He came for the sake of you and I. In the world today, how many people do you know come for the sake of you or I? Very few. Very few. But Christ came for the purpose of saving us. He came as a spotless lamb, and He gave of His life freely for you and I, that if we believe in Him, we might go free. You see, the coming of Christ and the Christmas message is the best news, because it focuses on the most unique man who has ever walked the face of the earth. The Christ, the Lord, and a man, the representative of all mankind. But why else is it the greatest news? Why else is it the best message in all of the world? It's the best message, it's the best news, because of the type of news that it is. How many of you all watch Fox News? A few. How many of you watch CNN? A few. How many of you watch the local news? How many of you watch no news at all? A few of you. All right. I mean, that's okay. I mean, I used to be very, I don't want to say addicted to the news, but I used to be an avid watcher of the news and used to read it a lot. I don't read or watch the news nearly as much as I used to. Don't be surprised if you ever say something to me that's happening in the current news and I don't know about it immediately. It may take me a day or two. So I'm not necessarily saying it's good, bad, or otherwise that you actively watch or do not watch the news, but I will say this. I don't care if it's Fox or CNN or any other major news station that you choose to watch. It seems like the news is always slanted in one direction or the other. That's just the truth and the reality of it. Be very cautious of the news that you hear on the television, and be even more cautious of the news that you read on the internet, and don't believe any of the news that anybody tells you in person. Amen? Yeah, exactly. I'm just telling you, that's good words of advice. The news is something that sometimes we hear it and we want to take it to be the truth immediately. Must be true because somebody said it, or because the news says it, or because the word in the paper says it. Well, that's not always the case for us. But I can tell you this, we can celebrate in the message of Christ, and we can celebrate in that news, because it truly is the best news of all. the greatest news of all, and it's the news that is true. Amen? That's the greatest thing about the message and the news of Christ. It is the truth. Every single aspect of the Word of God, it is true. The message of Christ and His coming, the purpose for which He came, it is all truth. Him coming for you and I, that is all true. Him being the Son of God, all true. Him being the representative of all mankind, it is all true. Him giving His life freely on a cross so that you and I might go free, it's all true. Now, where else in all the world can you go to? What news source can you tell me about that you can go to and you can hear the news, you can listen to the news and know it to be all of the truth and all fact? Nowheres. I don't care what news source you listen to. I don't care what news source you say you trust. None of it's really trustworthy when you think about it. But the news of the coming of Christ and His message that He shares is a message of undoubtable, unexplainable truth in a lot of ways. I mean, the message and the news of Christ is so true. I can't even begin to explain and to put into true words how true His message is. I mean, there's just things about Christ and there's just things about the Lord that sometimes it's hard for me to explain to you. All I can do is really tell you what the Word says. And I believe the Word to be truth. I believe the Word is the infallible Word of God. You know, it's sad that we see a lot of Christians today who really question about the truth of God. They may say that the Word is very accurate, but they deny in saying that it really is the truth. I believe with all of my heart the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, everything in between is true. I believe it is His true Word, and I believe it to be His infallible Word. And the message of God is that Christ is the Lord, that He is God, that He is man, that He came to give of His life freely that we might go free, and I believe that to be true. And that makes it the best news in all of the world because it's true. But I believe it's the best news in all of the world, not only because it's true, but because it's important. The coming of Christ and the message that is sent out, Him as the Savior of the world, it is the most important message. It is the most important news that you and I should ever want to hear or should ever want to share. You know, we hear something on the news, especially in local news, in our local community. We hear things that happen. What's the first thing we want to do? We want to share the news, right? Especially if it's juicy news. Right? Listen, it's okay. You can be honest with me this morning. I know how you are. It's okay. It's just the truth. You're a human being. You like to share news. I mean, when you get a piece of news that you think nobody else knows about, how does it make you feel? Somebody laughed a good one there. You get a piece of news that you think nobody else knows about. How does it make you feel? In part, it makes you feel a little powerful, doesn't it? It makes you feel important that you know something that maybe nobody else knows. And then the next feeling that comes is the feeling of, wow, I'm going to be able to tell something to somebody that they don't know. And you go and you tell that person, then how do you feel when they say, oh yeah, I already heard that? Man, it's like busting a balloon, isn't it? It makes you feel, gosh, just feel terrible. We get the news and we think, man, that's so important, and we want to go immediately tell that news. You know, how is it with the news of Christ? You know, for the shepherds, they heard the news from the angels and they immediately wanted to go and see. They immediately wanted to go and see. For us as Christians, for us as believers, we hear the good news about the coming of Christ, and He's came and He's given us life and He's ascended into heaven and He's waiting at the right hand of God. Now for us, it's not as much about the going and the seeing part, but for us today, the good news is important because it should be about the sharing of that news. The news of the coming of Christ, giving of His life, dying for us that you and I might go free, the fact that He is the Christ, that He is Lord, that He's God incarnate, the representative of all mankind, that is the type of news that we should want to go and share with a lost and a dying world. Because believe it or not, even though this news is over 2,000 years old, there are still people in this world today who do not know about the saving grace of Christ. There are still people in the world today who've never invited Christ into their heart. Maybe they don't know, maybe they don't believe, maybe they just question the story. They don't know of its validity, they don't know how true it could possibly be. You and I have an opportunity in a lost and a dying world to share a message that is not only true, but a message that is also important. A message that is vitally important. You see, the message in the news of the coming of Christ deals with eternal matters. It deals with the hearts and the souls of mankind. You see, souls last forever. What else in this world lasts forever in all eternity? Nothing. Not a thing. There is nothing in this world that will be here forever and ever and ever and ever outside of your eternal soul and the soul of man. That's the truth and reality. There is nothing that impacts your life with more importance than your eternity. We rarely think about it like that. We rarely see its importance, but that is the truth. Your soul lasts forever. There's no job. There's no retirement. There's no happiness. There's no nothing in this world that you can gain, accept, or have that will last for all eternity but your soul. That's why the important message is Christ, His coming, and Him crucified. Amen? That is an important message that you and I, if we have that news in our heart and we know Christ, if we have it, it should be our heart's desire to share that important news with others so that they too might have it in their heart. You see, the news and the message of Christ is so great because it is true, because it is important, but it's also timely. You know, the news, even though it's 2,000 years old, is still just important today as it was then because it's timely. Because it still deals with your eternal soul. Because why? Because mankind today, just as it was 2,000 years ago, is still in need of a Savior. You see, nothing in 2,000 years has happened where that mankind has gotten better or good enough that we can save our own souls. It doesn't work like that. You see, the message of Christ is so true and so important, but yet it's also so timely. It's 2,000 years old, but it still serves a purpose, and the message is still true today. You know, I can tell you that President Kennedy was assassinated. How many of you knew that already? Pretty much everybody. Pretty much everybody knows that. You see, that news isn't very timely today. Why? Because it happened a number of years ago. Many of us in here today weren't even alive when that happened. It's not very timely to us because it didn't even happen in our lifetime. You know, it's kind of ironic for me to think that there are people now who can't even remember 9/11 when that happened. Time flies. Time goes by so quickly. And as time passes, it seems that the news becomes less and less timely. But it's not so with the message of Christ. That news will always be timely. I think of what Paul says that he wrote in his letter to the church of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, I want you to listen to what Paul says to them. He says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel or the message that I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word or the message that I preached to you, unless you believe in vain." He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." Now look at this. He says, this is the first importance of the message of the gospel that I preach. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Paul, as he finishes out and midway through here, 1 Corinthians, in this 15th chapter, he says, "Hey, you remember that message I preached to you? You remember the good news that I gave you? The news that you found your relationship and your life and your church on?" He says, that news is of the uttermost importance. He says it's timely. He says it's true. He says it is important. Why? Because Christ came and He died. Christ came and He gave of His life. He died for you and I that we might go free. And He came and not only did He give His life that we might go free, but that He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again and was a conqueror of death. That's why the gospel message and the good news is so important, because it is true. And this is why it is so timely. Never forget how important, how true and timely the good news of Christ is. You see, the coming of Christ is the best news not only because it focuses on the greatest man of all time. It's not only the best news because of the type of news that it is, but I also want you to know that the news of the coming of Christ truly is the best news of all. Why? Because it comes for all people. You see, the news of the coming of Christ wasn't just for the Jews. The news of the coming of Christ wasn't just for those shepherds. The news of the coming of Christ was for all mankind. That means all, everybody. You know, the great thing about the word all that I love is it means everybody. That means regardless of your skin color, whether you are white, whether you are tan, whether you are black, whether you are kind of yellow in pigment, doesn't matter. Christ came for you. Doesn't matter what place in the country or the world you grew up in. Whether you grew up in the Far East or you grew up in the Far West, North or South. Whether you grew up in Appalachia, like some of us did. Or whether you grew up in the North, in the city. Or the Deep South. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you were poor. Doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money. Doesn't matter whether you're a hard-working person or whether you work as a CEO of a 5-star company. Doesn't matter. Christ came for you. You need a Savior, regardless of who you are or where you're from. And the great news is, Christ came for all of us. Not only do you need Him, but He came for all people. If you're here and you don't know Christ, the good news is He came for you. In that verse of Scripture that we read earlier, He came for your sake. He came and gave His life for your sake. That if you but believe in Him, you might be saved. That if you but believe in Him, He'll change your heart and He'll change your life, make you a new creature and a new creation. John chapter 5, verse 24, we see it from the words of Christ Himself. He says, Jesus in His ministry says it this way. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life." Look at that. I'll read it again. He says, "I say to you, whoever hears My word and believes in Him, God, who sent Me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." This is what Christ does. Christ says, if you believe in Me and you believe in who has sent Me, you believe in My words. He says, you can have eternal life and you'll receive no judgment and you'll pass from death into life. Christ came for all of us that we might have that eternal life. Paul in the book of Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10. Very familiar Scripture. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Notice in both of these verses of Scripture, one from Christ, one from Paul, he references and he says, if you believe, you'll be saved. If you believe, you'll have eternal life. It's not a question of who you are, how much money you have. It's not a question of how good you are or how bad you've been. It is but of the fact, do you believe and do you accept Christ into your heart? And the answer is, if you believe and accept Christ into your heart, you can have eternal life. The Word of God says He is faithful and just and willing to forgive us. It's not a question of can you be saved, it's a question of will you be saved? Will you accept Christ into your heart? I promise you, if you'll accept Him into your heart and your life, He'll change you radically. And He is faithful and just to do it. If you're here and you've never accepted the good news of Christ, would you not come this morning? I'd love to share with you personally how that you might bring Christ into your heart and into your life. I'd love to share with you how that you might be saved. Maybe you're here and you're a believer, but the struggle for you has been so difficult. Maybe you lack as a believer in sharing the good news, that important, true, and timely message. Maybe you've forgotten just how great of a God we serve, that He is the Son of God, that He is Lord, that He is the Christ. Maybe if you've forgotten these important things, maybe you fail in your sharing of the message, maybe you just need a helping hand in your life. You're struggling. You come. This altar's open to you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you have a brother or sister in Christ you'd like to bring with you to pray. However God is working on your heart, you respond this morning. Be obedient to His call. But most of all, if you're lost and you're undone, don't leave out of this place today without accepting the good news of Christ. You've heard it, but what will you do with it? I encourage you to accept it. Make it a part of your life. As our praise and our worship team comes, we close out this time of preaching. We come to a time of response. A time and a point in the message where if God is working on your heart, where if you feel the leadership of the Holy Spirit telling you that you need to be saved, this is your opportunity for you to come. I would love to be able to share personally with you. You respond. If you're here and you feel that call as a believer, maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to seek His face. You come. However the Lord is leading today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, now as we come to this time of response, Lord, Father, I pray and ask with earnesty that if there is someone here who has never known You, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will lead them under the call of salvation. Lord, I pray that they see today that the coming of You is the most important, the most true and timely message that we could ever hope to have heard. Lord, I pray that today they'll trust in You and You alone, that they'll give their life to You and be saved. Lord, maybe there's a Christian here who's in that struggle. Maybe they just need Your leadership and Your guidance. Lord, I pray that they will come. Lord, help us as Your people to see that this altar is always open. We always have a place to come to pour our hearts out to You. Father, Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen.